This episode of What Up Kev is featuring music by Male Bonding, titled Franklin. You can check him out at subpop.com. Hey, what's up, guys? It is Kevin Larrabee. I'm here with you again for What Up Kev. It's been a while since I've done one of these, but I figured, what better time than now? We did not have an episode of the FitCast this past weekend because of Memorial Day weekend, so we decided it would be best for everyone to just kind of take a break, and that's what we did. We took a break. You know, sometimes you have to, and these last couple weeks have been pretty interesting. I don't know if you may have noticed, we haven't really done like a major FitCast these last couple weeks. It's due to some personal stuff that's come up, and you know, when that happens, gotta deal with it. But you know, things come up in life and you just have to address them, as you probably know yourself. So I'm gonna recap you on what's been going on these last couple weeks. What can I tell you and what can I not tell you? You know, some cool stuff that's been going on. This upcoming weekend, we're going to have Perform Better Summit in Rhode Island, which is going to be great. I'll be there on Saturday and Sunday. I can't get away from work on Friday. Unfortunately, my schedule for training is pretty book solid. So I'm going to be getting down there for Friday and Saturday. Hopefully, I'm going to see some of you guys down there. I really hope I do. I know I've gotten a couple of emails from people saying that they're going to be down there. And if you are, and you want to get a discounted T-shirt, let me know, and I'll bring a couple down and save me the struggle of having to drop those off in a mailbox, because I know that is a struggle sometimes. But you know, this is called What Up Kevin. I totally copied Lee Peel with that. So what I'm going to do here is tell you a little bit about what I've been doing, you know, personal life stuff. So yeah, again, some personal stuff has come up. Nothing major, but it's something that did distract me quite heavily these last couple weeks. So had to iron that stuff out. Trying to keep myself distracted with other stuff. I've had this little side project, an arcade cabinet that I worked on refurbishing somewhat and putting in what is essentially a product you can buy online that will make it so it can play like 1,000 games. So I did that and put in new controllers, which was my nerdy experiment. And now I got that in my bedroom, which is pretty sweet. I can't complain too much. But I found myself growing up more and more these last, especially this last couple of weeks, more or less finding myself getting rid of a lot of video games, sticking with the bare essentials, and trying to keep myself more focused on work, growing the FitCast and seeing what we can do with that. And we have been working quite heavily behind the scenes on doing some stuff with that. I hope you guys are really going to like what we have cooking for you. And you're going to really want to be a part of our newsletter list. If you aren't already, we have something really cool that we're going to be giving out for free to all of our newsletter list subscribers. So if you haven't done that, you can just go to thefitcast.com and there's a little subscription thing on the right there. I promise I'll be a little bit better about getting the newsletters out. Again, these last couple weeks have been pretty interesting for myself. So we're going to try to do our best with that. So I'm trying to record this a little bit earlier than normal. It's about 5 o'clock. On a Tuesday. I'm going to be interviewing Martin Rooney later tonight, which I'm really looking forward to. It should be a great interview. We got a ton of questions for that. So let's see what else. I think that's really about it. We can get into the questions right now, and maybe we'll have some other cool stuff for you later. And I am going to include an interview with PJ Street at the end of this that I did this past week, and it's really cool stuff. A lot of it has to do with the actually, you know what? I'm probably going to say that for the FitCast. Sorry, I tease you, but yeah, sorry. We're going to have a new FitCast podcast this week. We're going to record on Thursday. We're trying to find a time that works for everyone. It's very trying when we are all very busy at this point and in different time zones, at least for John. It's pretty trying, but I'm hoping we can get this stuff worked out so we can bring some great stuff to you guys. And one last quick note, I actually recorded this episode like a month ago, and I didn't like how it came out, so I decided to just scrap it and re-record it. It never got finished, and I want to go back and see what questions I answered, what questions I didn't answer. So we're just going to go through the whole damn thing. It's going to be fun. So let's go into the questions. The first one comes from Shane. It says, "Hey, Kevin, I was wondering what your opinion on the anabolic diet is, or as some call it, the anabolic solution. Would you ever try it, or have you? Also, while I'm on the subject, have you ever read Taub's book, Good Calories, Bad Calories? If so, what do you think? Thanks for answering my question, Shane." Anabolic diet. For people out there that don't know what the anabolic diet is, basically it's a very high protein, high fat, extremely low carb diet. That the goal is to really get you into ketosis for the most part. Or some people may have also heard of it as like the ketogenic diet, would be another something that's also very similar to it. But the anabolic diet is Deepak Pascal's diet that I think has been pretty popular for the last 10 years or so, maybe 8 years. And, you know, I did play around with it a little bit when I was in college. I think it was back in 07 or 08. I don't remember. But, you know, being the young dude that I was and still am extremely, you know, I consider myself young and very open to trying new things and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't. See what works for, you know, I've always said some diets work for some people that, you know, obviously won't work for others. So it is kind of a thing where you have to find out what works for you. And I think this is the same case. And, if I remember correctly, and I think I do, it's 2 weeks of extremely low carb, you know, that low carb setup. I think the limit is 50 grams of carbs per day total, and that's including vegetables. So the rest of your calories are all coming from protein and fat, but you still have a relatively high caloric intake. I think for me it was like 2,800 calories. So you're getting quite a bit of calories from protein and fat. And after that 2 weeks, you have a refeed weekend. You are basically doing a refeed to get in all those carbohydrates, and you have 2 days of heavy lifting. You're supposed to build yourself two pretty intense workouts for that carb loading, and then again you go back on 1 week of the extreme, or I think it's 6 days, and then there's 1 day you have off. And I think, you know, do I think it works? I think it makes people run into issues where they get the taste of carbohydrates like it did for me. Now you don't have carbohydrates for literally 2 weeks, and then you get that first taste, and it's like literally like going off a crack, at least from what I've heard. It's like going off a crack for a couple weeks, and then, you know, getting your first, you know, using your next dosage of cocaine again. So it's probably not a great thing for you. And for some people, it will work because they can control it and they can make themselves stop after that 1 day. But I thought it was a little, it was a little too extreme. And, you know, it's definitely questionable about how healthy it is long term. But I think, you know what, is it worth giving a shot? You know what, maybe, you know, maybe for 2 months or 3 months, you give it a shot and you see how your body reacts to it. If you feel like garbage and you can't function during that 2 week period where you have no carbs, then yeah, I probably wouldn't do it. The other thing he wants to know about the Taub's book, the stuff that I've heard about Taub's, I've talked to Lee about this, is a very interesting topic. Lee doesn't really agree with a lot of his stuff, and from what I've read, I don't really agree with a lot of his stuff. It's pretty extreme, and I'm not a huge fan of the extreme one way or the other. That's why I think, you know, all these diets that are very extreme and don't tend to work in the long term. You see people that go on them for a couple months or maybe a couple weeks, and then things all go to crap. So that's that. Maybe we'll talk about that more on the podcast, on the FitCast, but I'm not sure. Next question that we have comes from Sherman from Tempe, Arizona. For sure. See, it's 5 o'clock. I think it's just because I talk so much and I don't allow myself to breathe. He says, hey, Kev, really cool question for you. Is it okay to take casein in ZMAs before bed? I know that milk blocks the absorption of zinc. So I tried to take the ZMAs 30 minutes before my casein shake. Is this good? Thanks for your time. Sherman, I think that the general rule of thumb is about an hour. Because, again, that yes, the absorption of zinc it does become an issue. So what I would recommend is, hypothetically, you go to bed at midnight or even let's say you go to, midnight's fine. So you have your ZMA at 10:45 and then you have your shake right before bed at 11:45 and then you brush your teeth and then you hit the sack and you're going to sleep. I think that's really the best way to do it. And ZMA is one of those interesting supplements. It works for some, it doesn't work for others. I would recommend it to some of my clients that have trouble sleeping. But I think it's all, it's all relative. And I think you have to try it. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, then it probably is a waste of your money. But I think it's cheap enough where I think it's worth giving a shot. So let's go to the holder questions. This one was from Sarah. What up, Kev? Okay, so this might be a weird question, but who do you look up to outside of the fitness world? Just curious. Thanks, love the show. Okay, so I think what Sarah's asking is, who do I look up to as mentors, or who do I look up to outside of the fitness and nutrition community? And I talked a little bit about this in that Virgin Mobile thing, but definitely Michael J. Fox. I think, such a strong individual, and what he's done with trying to promote the awareness of Parkinson's disease and promoting the research of Parkinson's disease, I think is fantastic. And just seeing how strong he's been dealing with the disease and still able to make public appearances. And he even did a guest appearance on Scrubs when he was, really showing the symptoms. They were able to cover that up by just making him a doctor with OCD. So he was able to kind of do his, move a lot, and you kind of have the tremors and stuff like that that you have to deal with as a Parkinson's patient. So definitely Michael J. Fox. And other than that, I don't think there's really anyone else. And even inside the fitness world, my mentors, it's a tight group of people that I really value their opinion. And if I have a major life decision, those are the people I generally email or call and say, am I being an idiot? Am I doing something that's stupid? Or, is this going to be the right decision for my career? So on and so forth. And I even had one of those talks with Mike Boyle a month or two ago. And, it's great to get the feedback from people that have been there and done that. And they generally have a pretty good feeling about if one move is going to be better for your career or not. So I definitely, Michael J. Fox, and then, my close-knit group of, Mike Boyle, Eric Cressy, and Mike Robertson, and obviously JFAS and Leppel Hill are in that group as well. Lee Peel, if you didn't get the joke. Damn, how does Lee do these without continually stopping to drink something? You must cover it up with edits like I'm going to try to do right now. You might hear a clicking of me stopping the recording, but that's just that's how we roll. The next question comes from, let's see, who I didn't have a name on this one. Do you supplement with creatine on non-lifting days? And also, are there any new supplements you're trying out, new green tea flavor you recommend, etc.? My non-lifting days, I will do some kind of walking, or I'll do some mobility work, or today's a great example. I went downstairs to my garage and I did, some push-up isoholds to help rehab my torn pec, which is awesome. Did some kettlebell swings, some planks, some, band pull-aparts, no money holds, which are basically, they're kind of like, it did band-resistant holds with that. X-band walks, doing general mobility stuff. And then I'll usually use some ice from Black Star Labs, Extreme Formulations. I'll use their ice, and I'll usually throw in that 5 grams of creatine just for the heck of it. Just to, you know, stay topped off. I don't think you necessarily have to do it, but it won't hurt you as well. And am I trying out any new supplements? No. My supplement grouping is very small. It is a multivitamin, fish oil, which is usually Carlson's, at least it is right now because it was on sale at Vitamin Shop, vitamin D, which again is usually Carlson brand, Carlson's Solar D Gems, and probiotic. So that's really it. And I will use ZMA for bedtime. And on the rare occasions where I really can't get to sleep, I do have some Z12 from Biotest. I think I talked about that a long time ago, how that wasn't really working for me. But I literally only take it when I am like, holy crap, I got to get to bed right now. Or I'm still awake at 1:30 in the morning and I can't fall asleep. I will pop a couple. But I don't like to take it every day because it's expensive and I don't want to build up a tolerance to it. Let's see. Next question. Hey, Kevin, similar to the question asked of Steve Cotter about kettlebells, which 3 movements would you choose as the big 3 for TRX training? Also, I just got a TRX, and I'm wondering, are there any little tips or tricks you found to using it to really get the most out of it? Thanks. The big 3, obviously an inverted row would be one. I really love any kind of plank in it, like a feet suspended side plank or even a front plank, I think are great. And rear foot elevated split squat would probably be the 3rd one. I think those 3 are fantastic. Push-ups are also great as well. So any little tips or tricks you find to using it to really get the most out of it? I would probably say the best thing you could do is get one of those door attachments, so when you do go away, you can use it in a hotel and at home. If you have the room and you have like a stud in the ceiling that you can make use of, they sell a little attachment that you can kind of drill into the ceiling, so you can have you can really have it suspended from the ceiling instead of a door. You can also, I'm sure you can go to Home Depot or your local hardware store and get something that's similar, but it's only like $30. And to be honest, I went to my local hardware store and I couldn't find anything that would really do it. All I could find was like J-hooks. And we actually have J-hooks in our garage from the previous owners of the house. And they are starting to fall out from me hanging from them. You know, having a 190-pound person hanging from J-hooks is not necessarily the best thing, because they're not really supposed to hold you for swinging, especially in an angle if you're going to do, heaven forbid, some bicep curls or tricep extensions, or can't go really with straight inverted rows. You kind of need to go at an angle, then you got to keep that in mind. So I think that's it. And lastly, what would be the best setup for a home gym with little cost and little space? Do you recommend a cage, a bench, plates, and bar, anything else? That's a bad question because it all depends. It all depends on how much you want. It depends how much you're going to use it. It depends how much you really want to train. And it depends how much money you really have to spend for this. Are you going to really justify it as, I'm spending, let's say your membership's $50 a month, or let's even make it a little bit higher. Let's say it's $60 a month. So we're running about, I don't know, it's almost like $800 per year or something like that. Let's do 6 times 12 would give us 72. So let's say it's 750. We'll just round up. So you have $750 in that year that would normally go to a gym. So you kind of want to replace everything that you would at that gym. So I would definitely recommend, if you really want to go all out, getting some kind of squat rack or a cage will benefit you, along with a bench, plates up to probably 300, depending on your strength right now. A good bar, like a good Olympic bar. dumbbells, you know, we start getting into dumbbells and we're talking about some serious money here, unless you can go on Craigslist and get them. And then probably a TRX would be good. You know, it's this gets into a whole territory of it all depends. For the budget goer like I am, I just usually use my garage gym maybe once a week to get some stuff done. I probably have about a little, maybe $400 max worth of equipment, and it's just valve slides, four kettlebells and various weights. I think I have, I have a 32, a 24, a 16, an 8, and a kettlebell buddy, which adds an extra 2 kilograms to it. I think I said valve slides. Med ball, a 12-pound med ball, a jump rope, obviously TRX. I have dumbbells that I got for free in 40 and 50 pounds that I got from the closet of Mike Boyle's facility, and an Arix pad, which I also got for free, and I think that is it. I don't think there's anything else down there. So I don't have a lot, but you can get quite a bit done with those pieces of equipment. So hopefully that helps. And I think, I'm not sure if we got any more questions for the podcast. So I think that's where we're going to wrap it up. It's going to be a short one this week. I don't think there's anything else you guys want to really hear me talk about. Oop, we do have one more from Facebook, from Balint. Let's see, what's your opinion on strong lifts, like 5x5 as a program for developing foundational strength, or a foundation of strength? I've just started strong lifts as I realized I've been lifting for ages and not really getting anywhere. I need to improve on things like pull-ups and bench, which I'm useless at. All right, so well, let's just say lower rep workouts. 5x5, I think, is something... I forgot what that program was called. The original, like 5x5. I think it was like big, man, I stink. I can't remember. But the concept of just lifting, with fewer reps. Yeah. It makes more sense in terms of building up strength. It allows you to usually be a little bit more explosive. You're not grinding out reps. It's a little bit more, fatiguing on your CNS. It works, you know, the using for people going who have already always done 8 to 12 reps per set, going to sets of 5 will make a huge difference. And even doing, allowing yourself to go down to sets of 3, I think is fantastic. Because again, as long as you're not grinding them out, as long as you're getting every single one of those reps done correctly. And if you happen to be in the case of doing something like a back squat or a deadlift or a bench, making sure you have proper spotting, making sure people are looking at your form, that you're doing the exercise correctly. And obviously in the case of benching or squatting, that you don't kill yourself, because I don't want people emailing me or haunting me saying that, oh, you told me to do heavy reps and you kill yourself with the bar, you know, hitting you in the head, or, you know, choking yourself to death with a barbell and then haunting me, because that is just unacceptable. It's not my fault. That's the disclaimer, and I'm sticking to it. It's just not going to be, acceptable. All right. So I'm going to say that's the end of the fitness stuff. I might ramble on for another couple minutes. This is going to be my off topic for the rest of What Up Kev, because I have some off topic stuff to talk about. And I will give you fair warning, if any TV stuff comes up, in case there's spoilers. But this is just if you have some extra free time and you need to burn some time and you actually care about what I have to say when it comes to the off-topic stuff. But, you know, I'll quickly talk about rehabbing, from that pec tear. Basically I was benching, partially tore my pec. I've been seeing John Paloff, getting some Graston work done, because you can literally feel a golf ball, at the top of my left pec towards the armpit. There's like an indentation. So you can actually kind of see where the fibers tore. It's pretty cool stuff, actually. So what I've been doing for the first couple weeks is, Eric Cressy helped me out with, more or less, it was kind of like an adapted from a shoulder rehab program that he did with someone, doing lots of push-up iso holds, really focusing on my rowing. And the only thing I really haven't been able to do is any kind of horizontal pressing or any kind of like pushing, like bench pressing or push-ups. Any kind of overhead pressing was iffy. I never usually do much of that anyways. Maybe I'll do some kind of military pressing or dumbbell benching, but I usually don't do that. So basically, I've been doing lots of rehab stuff in my warm-up, spending literally about half an hour warming up and doing that rehab stuff before lifting. And other than that, I've been able to do pretty much everything else in terms of the lower body movement. Obviously, I mentioned kettlebell swings earlier. After about 2 weeks, I was able to do push-ups, for the most part, pain-free. And I did some restricted floor pressing with a barbell and dumbbells, both of which felt okay. I can still feel the strain. And right now, if I kind of go in that general area, you can still feel that big lump there. But it's working out. And thanks to John Palaf and lots of stretching and Eric for the tips on the program. It's helped quite a bit get me back there. So it's always cool to, it sucks to get hurt, but it's kind of cool because you get to learn a little bit more about that injury and what you're going to have to do if when your clients or when your athletes gets injured in that way as well. It gives you a better understanding. I mean, if I've ever have clients with hip issues, I can fix them. Like it's that easy because I've gone through my share of hip problems, and I know what works and what doesn't, and I know what to ask for and know what to kind of look for when that kind of thing comes up, which is pretty cool. Let's see. I think that is about it. Again, Perform Better Providence coming up this weekend. Hoping to see you guys there. It's going to be an awesome lineup. Obviously, the guys from the Perform Better circuit, Alan Cosgrove, Todd Durkin, Mike Boyle, Eric Cressy is going to be presenting. Gray Cook. I mean, come on. It's going to be a great, great weekend. It's performed better. It'll be interesting. I don't know. We haven't talked about this whole controversy with Mike Boyle and the NSCA. I think it's interesting. I think it's going to be interesting to see how things turn out. I'm not going to really talk about it too much because I don't really have much to say. I have nothing to do with it. So the only thing I have to say is it's going to stink that I can't use my CEUs for Mike's seminar or this Perform Better seminar. I won't get to use any of those CEUs. So the 10 hours or so, or it's really like 12 hours that I'm going to spend learning on Saturday and Sunday will be meaningless to the NSCA, which kind of blows. And I don't know if it's fair or not. What do you guys think? Because I know a lot of you guys out there are either certified through the NSCA with a CPT or a CSCS. So let me know what you think. I think it's going to be interesting to see how things turn out, and hopefully it gets sorted out where everybody wins. Hopefully Mike gets to continue offering CEUs for talks that he gives and for the people that also are involved with talks that he gives, but we will see. Now to some off-topic stuff. I have been trying to play some video games to relax. Going back to the personal stuff, I literally burnt myself out really bad. You can't go on sleeping 5 hours a night and trying to be sane and stay healthy, because I was not. My health was suffering, and it was quite noticeable to my family, my clients, even my coworkers. It was suffering really bad. I was starting to lose motivation to do really anything because I was so tired, so dead. So I more or less had an intervention with myself. I made myself stop. I literally stopped and had to get my health back in order before I did anything else. So I tried to do some relaxing. I took some time. I hung out with some friends. I spent a weekend not working, which is nuts. I played through a video game, Alan Wake, for the Xbox 360, which I thought was fantastic. And it's weird. I've talked about how I play video games a lot. At least I wish I did now. But almost to the point where I went to go do this as a career. But I literally have bought games like Split Second, which I played maybe 30 minutes of with a friend. And I bought the new Super Mario Galaxy, which is supposed to be really good. I haven't opened it yet. And I've started to sell a bunch of my stuff because I just don't have the time to play it. I'm not going to have the time to play it. And I think that I'm going to be able to get a lot out of this arcade machine. Just when people come over, we can play some Street Fighter. Like that's good enough for me. I can relax. I can mash on some buttons and I can get in screaming matches like I did with the Roger Lawson of RogerLawFitness.com. And, you know, sometimes you got to grow up a little bit. Sometimes you got to. And I think that's where we're realizing how to budget your time a little bit more and to not kill yourself working. I just recently read a book called Rework, and one of the things that came up in it, and I think is awesome. I think it's so damn it makes sense, and I think it's one of the best things that I've heard. And you're going to agree with it or not, but you know, the people that come into work and they've only got 3 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, 5 hours of sleep, and they come into work and they're dead tired and they wear that as a badge of honor. They go up to everyone and say, oh, I'm so tired. You know, I'm dead. You know, I work so hard, and they wear it as a badge of courage. Like, that's not good. Like, that's not a good thing. It's not something to be proud of. And you got to learn to just work more efficiently. I know I work more efficiently than other people because I'm a nerd. I know how to use technology to my advantage. I can get things done quicker because I know how to use a computer and things like that. So I think it's interesting. And by the way, 4 year anniversary of the FitCast was like 2 weeks ago. I forgot to mention that. So yay for everyone. All right, that's it. I'm going to wrap it up. We're going to have a new podcast for you this week. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to interview Martin Rooney in a little bit, and I'm just going to, you know, try to chill out as much as I can. So that's it. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of What Up Kev. I think it's episode number 5. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.